first to the case of Mary Ann Carrick. On the 28th of February, the Assistant Minister for Immigration, Alex Hawke, decided not to revoke Mary Ann's visa cancellation. Her visa was automatically revoked at the end of her latest prison sentence, and she's been in Villawood Detention Centre for a year now. RN journalist Anne Arnold spoke to Mary Ann from Villawood on the telephone.
I think my parents came here under the illusion that they were going to have a really good life and they wanted better for us children. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. My father turned into a bad alcoholic. The drinking made him violent.
To you all?
To all of us. My mother, all of us.
Then you ran away at 14, and what did 14. You do after that?
And then I put my age up to 15 so that I could get a job at the local shop. The drug used at a very young age.
Then throughout your life, that's been the pattern?
Yes. The only jobs really available to me was bar work. And from there, I went into nightclubs, that sort of stuff, and everything else was just readily available.
And in nightclubs, what sort of work?
Same thing, bar work, dancing, you know. I tried to do anything to avoid actually selling myself. By the time I was 19, I was pregnant. I had a child on the way.
Did you raise your daughter or...
I raised my daughter and I had help from my family. My mother used to bring my daughter up to visit me when I had times in jail. And before I went into custody this time, I was living with my sister. So my family has been a big part of my life always.
But there has been, what, something like 20 years in jail, would you say?
Maybe not quite 20, but yes, I'm in the double figures.
The offences that you ended up in jail for were sometimes possession of illegal
yes.
drugs, sometimes supply. But you were, you said earlier you managed to avoid selling your body, but to feed your habit or for whatever reason,
yes.
you did sell drugs through your through
yes,
your
I
lifetime.
Did. Yeah. Yes, I did.
And you acknowledge
yes.
that.
I'm not proud of it or anything else. To me, I didn't want to go out there. I have never broken into people's houses or anything like that. I have no violent charges whatsoever. I'm not asking for anyone to feel sorry for me for my criminal history. What I'm asking is I have lost everything. I have done all my jail. I've been punished. They're sending me to a foreign country. I don't know a soul. I can't read and write. I'm 52 years old. What do? Become a bag lady on the street? I have nothing, and the only thing I have left now is my family. I have two grandchildren, you know. That's all I have left, and now they want to take that from me. Sending me over there is sending me over there to die.
You don't speak the language either?
I don't speak the language. I was raised here as an Australian.
You have a lot of health issues, and you need to keep using methadone, is that correct?
Yes. I don't understand if I'm lucky enough to get through the withdrawals because as far as I know, there's not many drug programs over there. Where would I live? How would I support myself? That's what I don't understand. I don't have any violent history. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a blighty. You know, now I'm an old lady. Like, what harm could I possibly cause the Australian public? This has been my life and it's been quite a miserable one as it is. All I'm asking is please let me die in Australia.
The reason that you're in Villawood is because there's two reasons. One is you didn't have Australian citizenship and the other is because you had a criminal sentence of more than 12 months.
Yes.
Why did you not have citizenship?
I didn't even realise all my family are citizens. I somehow must have slipped through the cracks. I left home. I didn't even know I wasn't an Australian citizen. I thought I was. I thought I was until years later. And then I believed that if I had have applied for citizenship, they wouldn't have given it to me.
Because you had a criminal record by then?
Yes. Yes. I have never been anywhere else. I've never left the country. I've never wanted to.
Mary Ann Carrick speaking there with RN's Anne Arnold. Jason Donnelly is a Sydney barrister. He also teaches migration law at Western Sydney University. He was Mary Ann's lawyer in her unsuccessful attempt to revoke her visa cancellation.
Yeah, I think that up front it must be accepted that Mary Ann does have a serious criminal history, although, of course, when considered in context, there's always a story behind the criminality of an individual, and Marianne's no different. Marianne's background was somewhat unfortunate in the sense that, according to her, she had a troubled upbringing that was, I suspect, the start of her life of crime and of drugs, and a very unfortunate drug addiction that she's had since that time.
And a 30-year criminal career, including a 2008 six-year sentence for trafficking or supply of heroin, and a 2015 conviction for possessing 2.4 grams of pure heroin. And I believe that when the car was pulled over and the heroin was found, police also found four mobile phones which recorded that she was buying and selling illegal drugs. Now, she's currently facing deportation, and in late February, the Assistant Minister for Immigration, Alex Hawke, decided not to revoke the visa cancellation decision.
Yes.
What is the law around non-citizens who have convictions for serious crimes?
So basically, if you're a non-citizen residing in Australia and you're sentenced to a term of imprisonment of 12 or more months, then automatically your visa, whether it be temporary or a permanent visa, is cancelled. And after you serve your term of imprisonment, you're taken straight to the detention centre, where then you need to persuade the department, in effect, to give you back your visa. And the department takes into account a number of considerations beyond the scope of just your criminal history, but obviously having close regard to your criminal history.
Mm. And the Assistant Minister for Immigration basically looked at her case and said, no, there's not enough here for me to revoke that visa cancellation. What do you think of that decision?
For myself, I think the decision is unreasonable in a moral sense. The minister, or the assistant minister, doesn't have to take into account any consideration but for protection of the Australian community, although in this case, in fairness to the assistant minister, he did take into account matters beyond the scope of protection of the Australian community, such as best interest of minor children or other associations in Australia, family and friends, strength, nature and duration of ties that Marianne has to this country, the general expectations of the Australian community, and perhaps one of the most important ones, the extent of any impediments which Marianne may face if she's deported to Croatia, if removed. And as I said earlier, the risk to the Australian community if she was given back her visa and permitted to live in Australia.
What do you see as the fundamental philosophical question here? I mean, this is a person, again, with a 30-year serious criminal history.
For myself, it's the construction and nature of the concept of sovereignty. And to what extent, I suppose, should the Australian government, Australia as a people, be able to deport non-citizens from this country? For myself, I think the answer to the question is that, generally speaking, if you are a non-citizen who's only lived here for a small portion of your life, then I would probably say that there is very good reason for Australia exercising its sovereignty to deport that person to their country of national origin. However, having said that, for a person who has lived in Australia for most of their natural life, effectively all of her life, for all intents and purposes, Marianne coming here as a two-year-old, is Australian. And I think Australia does need to exercise some fundamental sense of compassion.
You work in this space quite a bit, this space of immigration law, and you also teach immigration law. Do you see consistency in the decisions of the department or the minister or the assistant minister about whether or not someone passes the character test and is allowed to stay? Do you see consistency?
In short, no. Broadly put, there's been less of an indulgence to allow New Zealand nationals to stay here than there might be, for example, someone of a place in Europe or the Middle East, such as Turkey. I once had a case, without mentioning names, where a person who's got a criminal record not too different from Marianne, who effectively was able to stay in Australia with the same kind of criminal record and with the same kind of connections as Marianne. And with that in mind, it seems not fair or equitable that, on the one hand, if you're a national of Turkey, you can stay in Australia, but if you're a national of New Zealand and you've lived in Australia for about the same amount of time with the same or even perhaps worse criminal record, you'll be deported back to New Zealand.
Do you know in what percentage of cases that the visa cancellation is revoked, that people like Marianne are successful?
I don't have the exact numbers, but in terms of the cases that I've dealt with, I would say that at least 80% the revocation does not occur.
Really?
Absolutely. And in fact, any New Zealand citizen that I've had they've all been unsuccessful. But some other cases, persons from other countries, they've been successful.
Flipping that around, you could say, well, it's much easier to send somebody, to handball somebody off to New Zealand where they speak the language, where the culture's similar. Maybe the system is showing a degree of sympathy to the people involved here because it's saying people can go back to New Zealand and adjust much harder to adjust to somewhere like Turkey or Croatia or, say, Vietnam and Cambodia, where I know many of these people have been sent back to in the past.
Yes, I think that there definitely needs to be somewhat of a concession there. You mentioned the word sympathy, which is interesting because I suppose coming back to Mary Ann's case, there seems to not be a lot of sympathy for her case because, as I said earlier, the assistant minister has accepted that it would be extremely difficult for her to adjust to life in that country and she's likely to end up on the street. And I think that I suppose what's important from a sympathetic perspective is this is the first time her visa's ever been cancelled. She's lived here for almost 50 years. I would have thought there might have been a greater sense of indulgence, showing an exercise of compassion.
The decision of Alex Hawke does make mention of the fact that she was warned, I think, twice, both in October 2007 and in 2010, that this was a real possibility, that she could be kicked out of this country. But, you know, nevertheless, she went on to continue offending.
I accept that. Again, and I suppose this raises another really important issue, the so-called warnings that are given to non-citizens, many of which are in prison at the time. Without the benefit of a lawyer, even without the benefit often of legal aid, they don't actually understand the legal effect of what those warnings mean. And you can appreciate someone who is has been an unfortunate long-term drug user might not necessarily understand the legal effect of what she's doing.
What about community safety?
Community safety is obviously a consideration, but it's not the only consideration. And I think at the end of the day that insofar as safety concerned, it's Australia's problem. Effectively, what Australia is doing, particularly long-term non-citizens like Mary Ann, is deporting Australia's problems. Mary Ann learnt her drug problem in this country, learnt her crimes in this country. In fact, she learned everything about her life in this country. And sending her back to Croatia, as it now is and was not at the time, is effectively just deporting Australia's problems.
Sydney barrister Jason Donnelly. Mary Ann Carrick is planning to appeal the Assistant Minister's decision. Now, we did contact the department for comment, but didn't hear back.